I want to welcome you to Ask Father Josh. This is Deacon Michael making this thing happen for him. This is the thing. We're going to have some questions for you. I don't know, bro. I don't think I'm doing
You're doing
it right.
A great job, man. So what's up? Welcome to the Ask Father Josh, the podcast where I get to listen to your questions, pray with them, study them, and hopefully respond in such a way that it's helpful for you to become a saint and your walk toward eternity. If you are a first-time listener, you can hit us up with your own questions, comments, and critiques at www.ascensionpress.com/AskFatherJosh. Once again, I am joined by my co-host for the season, Deacon.
Deacon Michael here.
Deacon Michael Parker.
Parker up in the building.
And today we're going to, what's the song we were singing? Teach me how
music,
to
soul child, man.
Show me the way to surrender my heart. Girl, I'm so lost.
What?
Teach me how to love.
Oh, yeah, I got
hey,
you,
we,
bro.
We were both trying to hit the note. You know? Unfortunately, you can sing better than I can, which I don't envy because I want you to be able to sing well, but I will say I'm a tad bit jealous.
Come on, man.
So we're going to talk about that. How do husbands want to be loved? And also, by their wives,
that's
your
right.
husband.
Exactly.
We can talk about that.
Yes.
And so how can wives better love their husbands? And before we talk about that, I think you want to share with us a glory story today.
Yeah, so the glory story for me, man, not too long ago, man, I was not feeling well. I was burning the candles on both ends of the spectrum, and I can feel myself getting weak and tired, and I had the flu. That's what it turned out to happen. And whenever I get sick, man, I am a huge baby.
Oh, I know. Remember that time went to the camp?
Oh,
me,
yes.
Me, you, and Joe?
Yes.
And you got COVID? I think it was COVID, wasn't it?
It was a Delta variant. Oh, yeah, bro. I was out of here.
That was crazy. You were so weak.
Dude, I was so weak. It was crazy because even about that, y'all, the old fathers, they come through, and he made sure I take medicine. Took medicine. Father Josh even was watching me take the pill. Like, I was going to, not take the pill. It was crazy. He was like, did you swallow it? Yes, I did. I swallowed the pill. It was good. Just to make sure that
and
I was okay.
And took you to the hospital with Gervonda?
They took me to the hospital with my wife, yes.
And then me and her got into it with the nurse?
Yes, a poor nurse. The nurse was just...
She didn't know she had coming.
Yeah, she didn't know. She was, just very mean, and she was wanting me to answer the questions. I'm weak over
here.
You're
dying.
I'm basically dying.
And me and Gervonda trying to answer. She's like, I ain't talking to y'all. And I was like, uh-uh.
Where's your hospitality? Where's your bedside manner?
Young lady. I might be a priest, but don't do it. Don't do it.
No, man. So good glory story. And look, that's another thing about that too is do I receive the sacrament of anointing of the sick? Praise God.
At that point, you received all seven sacraments.
I wasn't a deacon yet, though. I don't think. No, I wasn't.
Oh, you're right. You weren't a deacon.
I wasn't a deacon yet. And then right when I got ordained, all seven sacraments happened. So that's huge glory. But yet and behold, within my glory story too, y'all, I had the flu a few weeks back, and I'm telling you, my wife came through. So, I mean, the emergency was coming because I don't like to take medicine as much. Maybe that's probably why you did have to watch me take the pill. But sure enough, just her being able to nurse
medicine.
Me back. You say you take medicine?
Look to your left.
Yeah, you take medicine.
I got a pharmacy over there, bro.
You take medicine, man.
And I ain't been to the doctor in years, and I'm still taking his medicine.
I love it.
I called my doctors. My parishioner, hey, I need some medicine.
Just give me,
hook me up. I need some Claritin right now. I got the sniffles. Give me the Claritin.
I love it, man. I love it. But yet and behold, thanks be to God, was nursed back to health. Thankful for my wife in that situation. So glory, glory.
So the glory story is that your wife loved you in your sickness.
Loves me in my sickness. Isn't that something? Mm. Praise God, man.
That's great.
You know it, bro.
As opposed to not loving you.
As opposed to not.
Yes. Well, stay tuned so we can jump into the topic of how husbands want to be loved. Gervonda is Deacon Michael's wife. Gervonda, stay tuned. He's going to tell you how he wants to be loved.
Oh, man.
All right, so Deacon Mike, we're back. So
yes.
Yeah, let's talk about this. I think that, and before we actually, I would like to give a disclaimer.
Please, right? Man, please.
That it's important for, like, you know, like, husbands have specific ways that they want to be loved, but so do wives. And so, like, husbands need to take time to learn how they can better love their wives as well.
Amen.
Your husband, so you're talking from a guy's perspective. If I had a wife on, I would ask her perspective. But we all should strive every day to love each other well.
Amen.
And that's just the fact. And so,
you know, you're going to have to do an episode where you bring a wife on to say how they want to be loved, right?
I know. You're going to have to. Might bring Javon down.
Oh, that's good.
She's going to be so super shady.
She's like, let me tell you what he said. But it's all good. But yeah, man, so. Husbands, how do husbands want to be loved? And yeah, it's really something that we really probably just maybe put too much emphasis on to think that it is a complicated thing. I will say many of the husbands that I do talk to, a lot of simplicity comes from the what we desire in being loved. And just kind of what I got just in a lot of the colloquials and a lot of the conversations that I will have with many husbands, they fall under a few categories, but I'll try to expound on them a good bit. But it starts with trust. Trust is a huge part on just to see how we are loved, because it just gives us a good foundation for us to be able to carry out our husbandly duties.
Well, what do you mean trust? Like, trust you with decisions, trust you with, like, with what we trust? Yeah.
Well, look, we'll start with trust then. I mean, so one of the things that we desire to do is we want to be the leaders of the household, right? And don't get me wrong, we are in marriage. We want to make sure we have the partnership of being that one, but a husband takes charge. And what I mean by that, too, is that we have this idea that we need to protect, that we need to provide, and make sure that we're doing what we can for our family. Getting like the St. Joseph mindset here, too, and just thinking about how he was a doer, right? So even though it was no scripture from St. Joseph, right? But we saw that he constantly did. And to think about it, Our Lady had to trust him in everything that was being done. I mean, leading him to Egypt to find a place for them to rest their head, for all of this. So husbands want to have that trust of knowing that their wives are behind them in their decisions. But as far as that, I mean, it can stem from a few things. I know that one of the things that husbands would do, we'll say we would do things for children. We would say that we'll pick up a task. If it's micromanaged on the back end to where it's like it's not being trusted to be done by the father, that we don't know how to either cater to our children, cater to our wives, to set things or have things ready for whatever situation it may be, it can kind of, I won't say emasculate, but it kind of just brings down the self-esteem on what a man really desires to do. And I mean, trusting that a man can get a job done does so much.
Even if
wonders.
It's not the way that she wants it done.
Even not.
But that, again, that's just a normal human formation, right?
Right.
We're all different people. And so, like, when I get a vision for the parish in prayer,
right,
I share the vision. And then when people implement the vision, it normally doesn't look like the way I saw it in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that, right? Mm-hmm. So if there's a task to be done, you are saying, like, you believe that men want their wives to trust that they're going to get it done. And it might not be exactly the way that she would have done it, or
right,
her father would have done it, or her brother would have done
exactly
it.
Exactly.
This way he's doing it. Can you just trust and believe that this is what I believe is best for our family?
Exactly.
Right,
exactly. And that's just gives more of the mindset of, and it's not a control thing. It's more of just stepping into that role of understanding that this is my duty to do what I can for my family in this way. So that trusting part of making sure that they have that responsibility.
Which would also mean that you should trust the wife and the mother of your kids.
Absolutely.
With her responsibilities and her duties and the state of life that you're living. And so if she's doing things differently than your mama did them,
yes,
or your sister doing them, or your ex-girlfriend did them,
right,
that's fine.
Exactly.
We have to learn how to, okay, this is how it's going to look for our marriage and our relationship and our family, which is totally different than anybody else. And I need to trust her that she's doing what she believes is best. Again, we're communicating with each other about this stuff.
No, I mean, that's in that scripture. I had the fortunate chance of reading that at a wedding, when thinking from the book of Genesis that a man should leave his mother and his father and he should cling to his wife. And with that, you can't just constantly look at your wife and think that this is my mom and she has that same way. So I love that you brought that up, because that is something that could be potentially crippling for a marriage. I've had friends that we would talk about, like, oh, man, you know, our mother used to do things a certain way. But also the mothers grew up in a different time and generation. Like, this is a different generation from where we're growing up, to where even, like, as far as mothers, more mothers have to work now. Mothers are taking up professional careers, and it's causing us to do a few more things. So things just have to, it kind of aligns to that. We do have to have that trust for one another in our jobs and duties that we say that we're going to do. I'll keep going. So the next thing is reliability, like just to be reliable, making sure that you are, that the wife is a place that we can come home and we know that we can, like, confide in and just to lean on and just be that. Even sometimes men don't realize, I mean, or maybe people don't realize that we may need a shoulder to cry on. And I know that men, we're not good about expressing ourselves or showing our emotion. But what we can do is understand that our wife is a point to where we can come home, we can come and be with them and have that them as a safe haven of understanding that we may need to lean on you to inspire us, to give us the resolve that we may need whenever the world is beating us up. So a point of us being loved by that is just having that understanding that you are the reliable source where we come to be filled. Mm-hmm. And that's uplifting to see that. Once again, if the world is beating us up on the outside, and if we're coming home from a rough day and we come home and we want to have a peace of mind, that's a place where we can say, we know that, of course, you're looking out, that this is a area for us to grow in so that we can just be overall happy. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that reliability pops up to knowing that this is not a place where we have to have any expectations, any kind of hidden agendas, just to understand that, no, once we get there, we know that we're going to be loved, and knowing that
it sounds like you're looking for a safe place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So always a safe place of knowing that we don't have to have a mask on to just kind of be that strong point as soon as we are around our wives. So
yeah, you want to be able to show your vulnerability and weakness. I think what I hear oftentimes from people, whenever I do marriage counseling, and I'm not a counselor, but a priest, we do pastoral counseling, just a big difference. But is that a lot of times both spouses don't want to be grasped at. They don't want to be possessed. Mm-hmm. They want to be received as the gift that they are. They don't want their spouse to say, you have to change in order for me to love you. And so to not grasp at your spouse looking a certain way or doing things a certain way, but to receive them as the gift that they are. I think another big thing that is important is for couples to vulnerably talk to each other, mm-hmm. and tell each other how you want to be loved, mm-hmm. and not assume that the other person should know how you should be loved or how they want to be loved. And so don't keep things in your mind.
No, that's not a good thing, because even sometimes I think the preconceived notion is that men need to understand exactly what's going on, or that we should already know mm-hmm. what is bothering us. And even though as one, we're in tune as a married couple, sometimes we just don't get it. We would need that understanding of knowing what is the problem, what is going on. And that right there, that just helps out tremendously of saying, okay, if something is wrong, we know about it. Because it could go completely over our heads. And it's not saying that we don't have the capacity to think about it. Sometimes it just literally just doesn't hit our radar.
We don't know what we don't know. And so it's important to be very vulnerable and share your thoughts and your feelings and your desires. It's also important for us to recognize that a lot of guys need affirmation. Even people in general, we all need affirmation. Mm-hmm. But for wives to be the ones to affirm their husbands that you're doing a good job mm-hmm. as a husband, as a father, as a lover, as a bridegroom, as a protector, as a provider, as a spouse, as a partner in crime. Like, I see you and I respect you and I love you. Whenever we're not being affirmed, it's just one of those ways that the enemy could kind of creep in. Mm-hmm. But if you're not affirming me, then maybe I'm doing something wrong, and then we begin to look elsewhere. Not that makes it right to look elsewhere, but guys do that. Whenever they're like, well, my wife, she doesn't appreciate me anymore. Right. And then there's other, you know, so it's just always important. A lot of guys, women desire to be desired. A lot of men desire to be affirmed in their masculinity, that they have what it takes, that they're mm-hmm. adequate. So just, I think that's another thing to pay attention to. And then also, like, when having confrontations, because we're going to have confrontations throughout the rest of our lives mm-hmm. with people that we love, it's important to do check-ins.
Right. Recognize the signs, like, to see what's going on. One of my biggest kryptonites that would kind of start an argument would be the fact that I'm sleepy. Mm-hmm. I'm tired because, I mean, I'm working, you work extremely hard, you may not get those 8 hours of sleep, and wives, and again, not saying that you get all the sleep, because we know that it's both hand in hand, but these are potential triggers that could just bring things to next level when or in an argument.
And so, this is, again, this is both and. It's right. For husbands to check in with their wives. Mm-hmm. How are you doing, right?
Right.
She's working, mm-hmm. whether she's getting paid for it or not.
Amen.
She's working, she's at home, stay at home. She's working all day with the kids. She's teaching them. She's cleaning. Mm-hmm. She's cooking. She's doing the dishes. She's doing the laundry. She's paying the bills. All this stuff's happening. She's had a long day. The kids are sick. She's tired. And so just because you come home and you want to have this conversation, you have to check in with her too.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Like, are we in a place right now? Are we in a space where we can have this difficult conversation? We have to have this conversation at some point. Mm-hmm. Is today the day though? Mm-hmm. Or should we plan this conversation later in the week when we mm-hmm. both know that we're going to be able to have time for this? So I think it's important to always like not only know where you're coming from, but where's right. your spouse at right now? Are they in the head space or they in the heart space to have these difficult conversations? I do think it's also important for wives to let their husbands into their cycle.
Yes, absolutely.
Because again, as guys, we don't go through a period.
Mm-mm.
We have no idea what that's like.
Right.
But I always tell my couples in marriage prep, like, guys, get to know your fiance's cycle.
Right.
Right? Because the week before the cycle, the period comes, she's going to be experiencing things that you will never mm-hmm. understand.
Exactly.
And so she might not be in a space that week. So if you're looking at her cycle as a mm-hmm. husband, right? So this is like the responsibility of the man to love his wife well.
Right.
I see when her period is going to come. If it's a regular period, mm-hmm. if it's a regular cycle, that's different. But if she has right. like a regular period cycle, I see whenever she's going to be in pain probably. That week, I need to be sacrificing for her.
Exactly.
I need to be pouring myself out, emptying myself, those corny jokes I might make or those things I might do that I think are funny that she doesn't like. I'm not going to do them that week.
Right.
And then she could sacrifice for me the week after. But it's we got to get to know our partners, not just for when are we going to discern babies, but for just the relationship sake of like, I need to know when I need to go the extra mile and sacrificing
exactly.
for her as well. And I think that would be a very beneficial thing for marriage. I mean, it's helped so many people out that I've walked with. And even with spiritual direction, like, well, I don't do it anymore because I'm too busy now. But back in the day when I used to have a lot more spiritual directees, I would never ask them when their stuff was, but I would always tell them, like, reverence your cycle,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, like, if you're fasting, you don't need to do any extra penances whenever you have that week before the period, because right. that's enough pain from what I hear already. So mm-hmm. like reverence your cycle. You could do more sacrifices and ascetical things later on. And that's proved to be very helpful for a lot of people.
No, absolutely. No, and I think about that because even when those situations happen, and I would notice that because something I'm still trying to get, you know, better at, and the Lord's not done with me yet, right? I know that whenever we have these arguments, my wife and I, and sometimes as a man, we want to get this done and over with, and we want to move on so we can have a lot of joy. And I think sometimes that I don't reverence, I'm getting better at it, thanks be to God, but to reverence that, maybe it's not the time to talk about it. Maybe that's not it, and that's okay, and it's fine. There's no love loss. It's just understand that this just may not be the right moment for us to go deeper or to solve an issue that could be going on. But again, I just think about how when I do see my wife in pain, I would try to step up way more than usual. And I'll say, you know what, I'll bring the girls to cheer practice, mm-hmm. or I'll try to pick them up from school if you're feeling down, or I'll take care of dinner tonight.
But she has to be vulnerable with you as well.
Exactly.
She has to enable you to love her well in those
exactly.
ways by letting you know, like, right now I'm just having a rough time. Right
exactly.
Now.
Exactly. So that's a big part of it.
That's great, man. Those are some really good points. And so hopefully that has been helpful for our listeners today. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we are going to dive into our saint for the day.
Hi, my name is Father Mike Schmitz. I wanted to let you know about an exciting announcement that could revolutionize the way you listen to the Bible in a year and the catechism in a year. Ascension has released a new Bible and catechism app called the Ascension app. No, here's what you get. In this app, you get the entire text of the Great Adventure Bible. Just incredible. You also get the entire text of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, as long with the Catechism in a Year podcast and the Bible in a Year podcast, and transcripts for each episode. If you're like, I'm tired of listening to that guy, I just want to read it. There's complete transcripts from each and every episode. One thing that makes this app incredibly unique is that it includes special features that make connections between the Bible and the Catechism so crystal clear through color-coded references and all these links. And the hyperlinks are amazing. I tried it out, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it kind of has changed the way I read through the Catechism, kind of changed the way I read through the Bible. These features will help you navigate the Bible and Catechism even more seamlessly so you can get more out of your experience. Also, the app provides almost 1,000 answers to Bible questions. The people who listen to the Bible in a year, they wrote in with their questions. Almost 1,000 answers. And those answers come in the form of audio clips, video clips, as well as resources excerpted from some of Ascension's published works. If you want to download this app for free, super simple. Just go to the App Store and search for Ascension app. I am telling you, if learning about the Bible and the catechism is important to you, then this app will change your life.
And we are back. Our saint for the day is a woman who was married to a man who was not a good husband to her, even though she tried to love him well. And so this is Blessed Serafina. She was in the 1400s. She was married whenever she was a teenager. At those times, she got married a lot younger. And she married a widower. His name was Alexander. And he went off to war. He left her in charge of all of their work at the home. And when he got back home, he began to cheat on her, and he treated her very poorly. And she was such a good stepmother to his children, and she was such a virtuous and charitable woman that everybody was like, what are you doing, Alexander? Why are you treating her this way? This is so messed up. And he was embarrassed by the way that they responded to his sins against her. So rather than getting his life together, he kicked her out. Mm. He put her out. And so she ended up living with the poor Clares nuns. And eventually she made vows as a poor Clare sister. And so years go by, and he has a conversion. He's like, okay, well, I can take her back now. She's my wife. It's good. And he goes back to the convent. He's like, hey, like I'm a changed man. It's time to come back home. And she basically said, No. I'm married to Jesus now, bro. And she would not return to him. And so he had to live the rest of his life offering up penances, doing reparation for his sins. Wow. And the sins of all men who do their women bad. And he did this until the day he died. And so she remained a sister and lived a very holy life as a nun, and eventually became the abbess of her convent where she was at. And so we never know how the Lord, when one door shuts, what doors he will open up for us in our walk toward eternity. I'm sure she never planned on being an abbess of a monastery whenever she was engaged to be married, but we don't know the ways of the Lord. But nonetheless, we invite you, Blessed Serafina,
to pray for us.
Until next time, God bless.